Fall is all about cozy comforts, and with Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your favorites and still hit your health goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles, you won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at hero.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
With rising anxiety generally due to the alarming actions of Trump and Putin and other world leaders, it's more important now than ever to facilitate ways in which positive societal and political change can be actively brought about at grassroots level. Now, I'm joined in studio by a Melbourne-based community organising specialist and host of the Socially Democratic podcast, Stephen Donnelly. Stephen, good morning and welcome.
Dia gut, Pat. I guess, tashe ain't talk of a Irish on by a clear shocking show.
Ta couple of fuckle got. You've got a few words of Irish.
Just couple of fuckle, but yeah.
And with a name like Stephen Donnelly, we had a Minister for Health called Stephen Donnelly, as you may know.
I am well aware of.
So you're obviously of Irish extraction.
I am. My parents are from Glasgow and they immigrated out to Australia in the 1950s, but my grandparents are Irish.
Are Irish. Okay. Now tell me about your Socially Democratic podcast and your activities in Melbourne.
So my podcast is more of it. Well, began really as a side hustle. My main primary job of the day is a community organizer. Maybe in 2019, I set up the podcast. It's an overtly biased center-left podcast because I just thought there was no platform for center-left conversations in this particular medium of podcasts, mm-hmm. which have become really popular now. And so we started a show. It was popular. People enjoyed it. And we've kept on going.
I presume you react to events as they happen, whether it's a change of government or something in local government or some outrage, for example, like the Bondi Beach killings.
Yeah, I mean, my background is in political campaigns. And I was a trade union organizer for about a decade. So I try to keep the episodes mostly focused on campaigning and less on policy. I am not a policy expert by any stretch of the imagination, and I often say that on the show. But, you know, when there are events that are happening either at home or overseas, there is sometimes a need for us to talk about it, but try and talk about it through the lens of the politics of it and how that's how we can analyze it best.
So when you reflect on what happened in Bondi, I mean, the kind of anti-Semitism that has to exist for such a hate crime to happen, it probably surprised a lot of Australians.
Without a doubt. I think the entire nation was shocked by the events in Bondi. And, you know, many of your listeners probably would have spent time in Bondi. It's mm-hmm. such a famous part of the country and a place where, you know, a lot of families go and have barbecues and sort of celebrate our great way of life. And for that to happen was a complete shock. And I think that the response from the government as well in the early days was of shock. I think it's only human nature to, if you're the prime minister of your country and to see 15 of your citizens be mowed down at a family barbecue, that would shock you. And I think that the rest of the country was in shock. One group that wasn't in shock was the Jewish community. They'd been saying to leaders for a number of years that we feel like something is going to happen because we'd seen a whole bunch of events leading up to that.
So they sensed a wave of anti-Semitism, even though the general public would have been oblivious to that.
Yeah, since October 7, we've had one of our synagogues firebombed and burnt to the ground, another one attempted firebombing. There's a member of parliament, a Labor MP who happens to be Jewish. His office has been attacked twice. There's been a lot of anti-Semitic vandalism on synagogues and on the Holocaust Museum in Melbourne. So it had been slowly building for a number of years.
You mentioned since October 7th. I mean, that was an attack on Israel, where 1,200 people were killed and people were abducted, and we had the hostage saga. So this probably wasn't a reaction to that, more a reaction to the reaction of Israel to October 7th.
Look, I think that The experience of the Jewish community in Australia, even prior to October 7, has been an experience of vigilance. If you were to, even before October 7, if you were to drive past, obviously Melbourne's got a large Jewish community. Mm-hmm. If you were to drive past one of the yeshiva centres or the schools or a synagogue, there are big gates out the front. There is security guards out the front. If you were to go...
And this was even prior to...
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. If you were to go to, you know, the Alstonwick cinema on a Saturday night when Shabbat ends, there's always security. And only on that night, you know, Jewish families have always said to the kids, don't answer the front door. So they've been living in a heightened state for a number of years, probably going back as far as September 11, the attacks in New York.
So this is not something that just erupted overnight. This was something that was growing like a cancer in Australian society. And yet, as I say, the mainstream would probably not have been aware of that.
No, I don't think so, which is unfortunate, you know. But I think that what can come out of this experience and what we've seen from the federal government now is that there will be a royal commission, both at a state and a federal level. It's sort of the highest inquiry that can be held. People are compelled and must attend. Mm-hmm. And the Prime Minister has said that the goals of the Royal Commission is to, first of all, understand how did we get here? How has anti-Semitism continued to grow in our society? Mm-hmm. How did the events of Bondi actually occur? What do we need to do to strengthen the role of our security agencies, our immigration policies, and the links with that in our police force? And also, how do we get our social cohesion back to where it once was? I feel like our innocence was shattered with the Bondi Massacre because I think that we prided ourselves on being a very multicultural, diverse sure. community. Don't always agree with each other, but we have free and fair elections as a liberal democracy would, but it never resulted in actual violence like you would expect maybe in the United
States.
Why
do you think the Jewish community particularly? I mean, my experience of Australia is limited, went from Sydney to Brisbane via various detours, found it a fabulous country. But on the streets of Brisbane, for example, I would say, now, people in offices, I don't know, but walking along the streets, mostly Asian faces. So therefore, Australia is a welcoming place for many Asians. And I'm wondering why the Jewish community particularly, when there are so many outsiders in times past, the Irish, the Brits, the Scots, all of those people welcome into Australia. Why is the Jewish community the one that is always singled out?
I mean, that's an age-old question, isn't it? I mean, it's often referred to as the first form of bigotry. Jews around the world have been experiencing prejudice for over 3,000 years. So I think that we may have to go back and even to further to examine why that's the case. But I think Jews around the world in Western liberal democracies have been talking about the rise of anti-Semitism against their community. And look, I don't have the answers for that, but it's something that we need to...
I'm just wondering, is there any growing anti-immigrant paranoia beginning to grow in Australia?
Look,
everyone in Australia is an immigrant besides the Aboriginal community.
100%. We are a nation of migrants, except for our First Nations brothers and sisters. I think we were saying off air before, I think that anti-Semitism manifests itself in all corners of Australian society, not just on the left, mm-hmm. but on the far right as well. This time last year, I was on the tram heading up Bourke Street, which is sort of like Grafton Street, mm-hmm. and walking past the steps of our state parliament, and a group of men in black balaclavas and black clothes unveiled a big sign that was saying about how Jews are controlling the world, these neo-Nazis. And I just thought, how have we got to this place?
Same old, same old.
Yeah, absolutely. And it, particularly as a Melbournean and a Victorian, we really pride ourselves as being the most progressive city in the country. And for this to sort of happen, I think what's happening more broadly is that extremists of every walk of life are feeling far more emboldened in this day and age. And maybe the internet has been a way in which they can connect with each other and organize to actually go out there and do these kinds of things that maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, that just wouldn't have been acceptable. And I think it's up to our leaders, our political leaders, to sort of draw a line in the sand and say, we are not going to tolerate any form of extremism.
Finally, Stephen, I should ask you, what is your mission in Dublin this week?
Well, Apart from having a couple of scoops at some of your wonderful pubs, I'm actually here for Alice is a public relations firm here in Dublin, and they're running an academy for activists. This is the second year they've done this, and they've brought together some of the best and brightest people from Irish civil society to train and develop them in the skills of campaigning and organising. And I'm a part of those workshops, which kick off tomorrow, which I'm very excited about. It's such an important thing to do. And I'm very honoured to be asked to fly across the ocean to come and meet some really wonderful leaders in your country and help develop their skills and campaigns.
Well, Stephen Donnelly, Melbourne-based community organising specialist and host of the Socially Democratic podcast. Stephen, thank you very much for joining us in studio today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.